Chapter 15.
What's going on up there, Draco Rex?
Batari called up from down below.
What do you see?
Orcs. I growled and looked down at my friends. Lots of fucking orcs, and they're sailing right toward our island.
More orcs? Oh, fuck ass of mothers.
How many would you say are lots? 5 ships? 7?
20. I called down bluntly.
Oh, my elderly ears must be deceiving me, because I thought I just heard you say there were 20 orc ships headed to this island.
That's exactly what I said. 20 ships that look to be orc vessels coming right this way.
Oh, ocean's tits,
Jonas blurted out, which garnered a puzzled look from Mira.
This is very bad, Ben. I've never heard Jonas use such a vulgar expletive before.
Well, if Jonas was swearing, it must have been bad.
Oh, no. We just call the land dragons back to us. What if we led them straight into a trap?
It's not a trap, I explained, as I climbed back down through the foliage. A trap would require careful planning and execution on the part of the orcs, and their primitive brains couldn't handle that sort of pressure. Sure, this is awful timing, but it's not a trap. In fact, I doubt these orcs know anything about the island other than the fact it's a potential dragon gold mine.
What about the others?
Ashanti questioned.
The ones we killed, do you think they got a message back to their people?
Impossible. I shook my head. We killed them before they even had a chance to send out a distress signal, which means we have at least one leg up in this situation. The bastards probably think they're coming up to meet their friends on the beach and that all is hunky-dory. They probably think they're just going to sweep in here, kidnap all you Chera women, and then steal your dragons. Well, my friends, I can promise I won't let that happen.
How are we going to stop it?
Batari asked through a frustrated laugh.
Even with all 3 of our dragons, we don't have enough firepower to take down 20 ships. And if all those ships end up at our shores, I can only imagine how many soldiers they have aboard. We'll be finished.
We'll think of something. If we can get out to the Dragon Queen and the other ships, maybe we can get away before they arrive.
You and your crewmates can do that.
Ashanti shook her head.
But the Chero aren't going anywhere. If we tried to flee right now, we'd have to leave everything behind. Our village, our Mirax, and the dragons we just summoned. I'd rather die than leave any of our beloved creatures behind.
Then I don't think we have a choice. We're going to have to try and fight these guys.
I know the dragons can't take out the entire fleet, but perhaps they could fly out and try to thin out the ranks a bit. We've seen the kind of damage Tyrion and Swire can do to a ship first, and then maybe we'd stand a fighting chance.
Maybe. I nodded. But that would be putting the dragons in a very dangerous position. Remember how prepared the other orcs were? They literally carried a bunch of dragon-hunting weapons across the savannah so they could attack the village. Just imagine the kind of stuff they have attached to their frickin' ships. I don't think our dragons would make it long unless they struck quickly and then disappeared into the clouds.
I could muster up a windstorm. That might make the water go crazy, and then the ships might crash into each other.
That's not a bad idea. But would your storm be strong enough? That's still a lot of ships.
I don't know. I've never tried to make one that big before.
It's still dangerous. Especially for a little dragon like you. Once they see you're a baby, they're going to try extremely hard to catch you because they think you're still within that stage where you can be trained.
I'm bonded. I wouldn't listen to them even if they fed me one of those flowers every single day.
That's what I'm worried about. Since you're bonded and won't listen, they just torture you into doing what they wanted.
Just like the poor wind dragon that attacked us the last time we fought the orcs. I frowned. I don't even want to think about what those bastards did to that poor thing.
It's very clear what the orcs' objective is. They are coming to this island in search of a dragon to do their bidding. If we send out our dragons, it's pretty much the same thing as just handing them what they want.
You're right. I sighed and rubbed my hands across my temples. They'd probably just snatch up the dragons and then sail away before they even reached the shore.
Exactly,
Jonas agreed.
The dragons might be able to take down a few ships, but they'd eventually be captured.
Then we only have one choice left,
Batari announced.
We will not flee, and we won't attempt to send out the dragons. That means we must fight them head on.
But you just said their numbers were too great,
Kandara pointed out.
They may be, but the Chero people are mighty warriors, and Tembori has already shown us his will is with us. We know this landscape, as well as how to utilize it in a fight. Even if we ultimately lose the battle, we shall kill as many of those disgusting green creatures as we possibly can.
I didn't like these odds. Depending on the type of ships the orcs were bringing, there could be anywhere from 20 to 100 orcs on each vessel. I wasn't sure how many Chera women there were, but judging from what I'd seen from the celebrations, there were way less than 200. Still, I couldn't think of a better solution. I wasn't going to cut and run and leave these women alone to deal with the deadly invaders, especially not when one of them was the mother of my future son or daughter. Likewise, I wasn't going to put our dragons at risk. Jonas was right when he claimed that's what these orc fuckers were coming here for, and I wasn't going to play right into their hands. If the Chero women wanted to stand and fight, then that's what we were going to do too.
Should we try to lead them into the traps?
I don't think that'll work. I shook my head. The traps are rigged to take down a scout party, not an entire army. We'd definitely kill some of them, but their sheer numbers would overwhelm us still. And if that happened so close to the village, it'd already be too late.
Then we shall meet them on the plains of the savannah. It's a wide open space. They may have the numbers, but we'll all be mounted while they're all on foot. Exactly.
Ashanti agreed.
Even if there are 10 times more of them than there are of us, we can outmaneuver them easily.
I wish I shared these women's confidence. The orcs were dumb as shit, but if there was one thing they knew how to do, it was fight. Sure, the Chero people could outmaneuver them with ease, but how much good would that do against seasoned orc warriors with weapons of steel? Yet, we had no other choice. We need to get back to the village and tell the rest of your people. We can have Zamwe take the non-fighters and hold up in the village, while all of the warriors come out and fight with us.
There will be no holding up, Draco Rex.
Batari shook her head.
We're going to need every single able-bodied Chero woman to come out and fight with us. Zakiyu, Zamwe, Baratu, they're all coming along too. If we're going to fall to the orcs, we're going to fall as fighters.
I wasn't sure how much help a stable hand, a shaman, and a cook would be in battle, but I also wasn't going to argue. For all I knew, each and every Chero woman was a deadly warrior. What about the dragons? I asked as I pointed to the horn. Will they get here soon?
I don't know.
Batari frowned.
We blew the horn, Draco Rex, but I see no sign of our beloved creatures yet. As much as I want to sit here and wait for their arrival, we don't have any time to lose. How long do you estimate it'll take for the ships to hit our shore?
2 or 3 hours. Maybe 4 if the weather starts to get rough.
Then we need to go back now.
Even though she was trying to remain calm and collected, I could see the disappointment on Batari's face. Her eyes glistened with sadness as she looked off to the horizon, and her brow was raised into a neutral expression that wouldn't give away her true emotions. I couldn't blame her. This was supposed to be a monumental moment for her people. The moment when the Queen Mother summoned the endangered land dragons and reunited them with the Chero people. And it was all being ruined by these fucking ugly green bastards. Batari must have sensed my anger, because she looked over at me and smiled warmly. Then the white-haired Chero woman attached the horn to her belt before she walked over, placed her hand on my shoulder, and nodded. Shit, I forgot you were dragon-bonded there for a second.
It's a strange sensation, knowing the feelings of another person. But don't feel bad for me, Ben. As much as I want our land dragons to return to us, my number one priority is the safety of my people. Who knows? If we come out the other side of this battle alive and well, maybe we can come back to this cloud brush and attempt to make the call again.
With that, Batari returned to her Murak. The rest of us did the same, and then we held on tightly as the giant ants began to descend the tree. It was much harder to hold on this time as gravity pulled Mira's weight down onto my body, which naturally wanted to bend forward. I tightened every single muscle in my body as I held myself out, stiff as a tree branch, and refused to bend even the slightest. Shit, I bet all these Chero women had some incredible core muscles. We soon reached the salty, muddy ground of the plains below, and our Murak took off in a full sprint. The creatures used their full effort as they scuttled across the ground and ran as fast as they possibly could back toward the Chero village, and before long we came to the mountain full of traps. The Murak carefully avoided the tripwires and spikes as we descended, and before we knew it we were at the front of the Chero village.
Go tell Zakiyu to prepare the Murak for battle,
Batari ordered Ashanti.
Every single one that we have on hand. We'll sound the alarm through the village. Kendara and Swire, you two go and round up anyone who might be in the huts or out at the dragon house.
Ashanti gave her leader a firm nod, and then she and Jonas rode off in the direction of the stables. Kendara and Swaer mirrored Ashanti's actions, though they went toward the other edge of the village. Without another word, Batari let out a whistle, and her Murak began to gallop toward the main entrance of her village.
She's very decisive when it comes to making decisions in the heat of battle.
Mira chuckled.
I love to see that.
I squeezed my legs around my Murak's body and commanded him to gallop. And Mira and I held on tight as we began to follow Batari through the streets of the Chero village and watched her sound the alarm.
To arms!
The Queen Mother declared, as her gorgeous white hair billowed behind her in the wind.
Everyone, to arms!
I watched as several Chero women stuck their heads out of the windows to see what was going on. But once they realized what their leader was saying, they started to funnel out of their homes and into the streets with their weapons in hand. It was about an even mix of sword, spears, and bows, but I was surprised to see every single Rhino woman was armed. "Damn," I whispered to Mira. I guess she wasn't kidding when she said everyone was coming along for this one. We followed Batari through the grid-like streets of the Chero village as she called her sisters to arms. Eventually, we had hit every single road within the Clay City, and a large army of Rhino warriors followed us like a pack of lemmings. Once everyone had been informed, Batari led us all out to the stables, and when we got there, I saw the rest of my crew was already waiting. George and Tyrion sat there as they watched the hyper-energetic Swa'er dart back and forth through the air. Meanwhile, Lazan, Nadir, Anora, and Nima chatted with Zikiu as she hastily rounded up the Mirax out in the pasture. There was a small group of Chero women present, as well, but nowhere near as many as we'd brought along with us.
"What is going on, Batari?"
Zamwe asked, when we finally came to a halt.
"Why have you called the entire village to arms? Did we anger Tambori by searching for his sacred item?"
Batari just rolled her eyes before she unfastened the great horn of ivory from her belt, held it aloft, and turned it around so everybody could see. As she did so, the entirety of the Chero village broke out into hushed whispers.
"We found the horn,"
the Queen Mother explained.
"And we blew the horn. But unfortunately, we could not remain and wait to see if anyone answered the call." "Why not?"
Zamwe gasped.
"Did we do something wrong, Queen Mother?" "No."
Batari hung her head as she prepared to deliver the bad news.
"We had to return to the village immediately to warn you all. There are many ships out in the horizon, coming right towards our island. Orc ships. More of them?"
Rikuri stepped forward and bared her teeth.
"Bring them on! We'll skewer them on our spears and crush their heads into goo just like we did last time." "I'm afraid it's not that easy, Rikuri."
Ashanti shook her head.
"I saw how many of them there were. 20 in total. 20 ships."
Rikuri's dark eyes went wide.
How many orcs are they carrying?"
"Could be up to 100 on each vessel. And all of them will be armed to the teeth with swords, bows, and siege weapons like you saw before."
"We are only 100 in total!"
Baratu's voice called out.
"And we're not all seasoned warriors like you are, Queen Mother. How will we fight off invaders with those great of numbers?" "As best we can."
Batari frowned.
"I know that's not the answer you all want to hear, but it's all we can do. We could try to run and hide, but we would be abandoning our village, as well as putting ourselves at the mercy of the savannah."
"The orcs won't stop either. They would hunt you all down until you were either dead or their prisoners."
"Also, we aren't a bunch of mud-wallowing pansies,"
Rikuri scoffed.
"The Chero people were created to be the protectors of the dragons, and these creatures are coming here to try and steal them away."
"Exactly,"
Batari said, and a fire blazed in her eyes.
"It is our sacred duty to protect this island and its magnificent inhabitants at all costs, even if that means laying down our lives in the process. Now, I realize what I'm asking. And I will fully respect the decision you make if nobody wants to come along for this fight."
"Don't be crazy, Queen Mother,"
Zikiu interjected.
"We're all coming along for this fight. Right, ladies?"
The entire crowd of Chero women responded with a resounding
"Haru!"
And Batari's stern look twisted into a smile.
"We're sisters, Batari,"
Rikuri added.
"We live together. We fight together. And if it is what Tambori wishes, then we'll die together as well. Let's hope not.
We have many tactical advantages over the orcs. We know the land. We're mounted, and they'll be on foot. Not to mention, we have a very powerful force the orcs will never see coming. The Draco Rex and his crew."
"Us?"
Nima gasped.
"What can we do that you all can't? You have a fire and water dragon at your disposal. Also, you've fought the orcs many more times than we have. You know their weaknesses, their fighting styles, and the strategies they try to pull."
"It's not very complicated. They run at you with iron weapons and clubs and try to bludgeon you to death. Oh, and for some reason they always think you're just as stupid as they are. Once you know that, it's easy to make things blow up in their faces."
"We get them in an open field,"
Mira suddenly gasped.
"What?"
Ashanti quirked her eyebrows.
"That was already the plan." "I know,"
Mira shook her head.
"But the main reason we can't attack with our dragons is because they probably have mounted anti-dragon weapons, right?"
"That's the thought process, yes."
"Do we have any idea on the range of those things? Because if we get the orcs all the way up onto the savannah..."
"They might not be able to hit anything with their weapons."
"And that would mean they'd be sitting ducks for the three dragons to pick them off.
The nets can't go too far. The ballista and the catapults probably could, though. But the further we get away from the shore, the less accurate they're going to get. We may not be able to fully get out of the reach of the weapons, but we could at least make sure they're going to be wildly inaccurate.
That may actually work to our advantage.
Rikuri snickered.
If they're trying to hit us and miss, they'll just take out a bunch of their own people. Then that's what we'll do.
Batari announced to her crew of rhino women.
We'll draw them out into the plains, pull them away from their siege weapons, and let the dragons take care of them. Just as long as we can get in on the action.
Nadir grinned.
I don't want to let our scaly friends have all the fun.
Hey!
Swa'er interjected, even though Nadir couldn't hear him.
I don't have scales. This is all soft, fluffy fur. It's what keeps me warm when I blow all that cold air at people.
Scaly and furry friends, I corrected Nadir, and nodded toward Swa'er. And they won't. At best, the dragons will only be able to make one pass at a time, so we'll have to take care of any orcs who are still alive in between.
That's what I like to hear.
Nadir flicked a raven lock off her forehead and smiled with her razor-sharp teeth.
Have I ever mentioned I think you two and I would make best friends?
Rikuri chuckled to the Kunag women.
We'd be the best of friends.
Lazan cooed.
It seems like all three of us have bloodlust that knows no bounds. You do.
Ashanti noted.
Now, instead of just talking about it, why don't we head out there, put it to good use? Chero warriors?
Batari called everyone to attention.
Take your mounts.
We watched as Zakiyu stood by the gates of the pasture and opened it up, and then she let out a shrill whistle. One by one, the Chero women approached the stablekeeper, called for their mirax, and then jumped up onto their backs when they approached. They would then scuttle out into the main area while the process repeated, and soon every single rider was mounted atop a warrior ant. That just left my crew and I. Hey, guys? I trailed off as I turned to the dragons and grinned. Do you mind if...
You can ride on my back, dear one.
George smiled before I could even finish my sentence.
I can fly you out too, but try to lessen the load this time. I just about fell out of the sky last time.
We shall ride on Tyrion,
Darya announced, and then she stepped forward and pointed between her twin and herself.
As will I,
Anora proclaimed.
There's room for one more? Who wants to take a ride on the silver-scaled vessel?
I'll go. Jonas nodded. A nice little flight sounds wonderful. Then the Kunag, Mira, Nima, and I will ride on George. I finished the selection process. Is that all right, buddy?
I'm a big dragon. I can handle it. Thank goodness you didn't ask me.
Swa'er snorted.
I don't think I can even carry the lightest member of your team, or even a small animal. Or anything, besides a small rock, actually. Just wait. You can't stay little and cute forever. Once you get older, everybody's gonna want to ride on your back.
Swa'er quirked his head to the side and narrowed his eyes at Tyrion. Then, in an instant, the furry red wind dragon made his eyes as big as saucers and pressed his whiskers and ears back against his head.
He's getting too good at that.
He really is. I swear, he could convince me to jump straight into a pack of orcs with that look.
Swa'er's face returned to normal, and the little dragon just stuck out his forked tongue and grinned. Yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing. We all mounted our dragons, got into position behind the Chero women, and awaited Batari's instructions. Finally, the white-haired rhino woman drew her spear sword and held it high in the air as she made the command.
Onward!
She bellowed, and her warrior women followed with a resounding
Haroo!
Then we were off. We marched around the Chero village and then up over the mountainous terrain. But when we got to the top and could see out over the sprawling savanna, my heart dropped into my stomach. Though they were still quite a ways off in the distance, the orc ships were getting closer and closer. Our war party traveled down the mountain with caution, and soon we found ourselves back in the tall, wispy grass of the savanna.
How far do we want to go?
Ashanti asked her leader.
We want to lure them up into the plains, but how are we going to do that if we're too far away from the shore?
I'll go, I blurted out, and all three of the Chero trio looked at me like I was insane.
What do you mean, you'll go? Don't tell me the Draco Rex suddenly has a death wish.
I'll be the one to draw them out. If the reactions of the other orcs were any indication, they're going to be very surprised to see me. It'll probably drive them into a fit of rage, and they'll all become super eager to be the one to finally kill the Draco Rex. I bet they'll chase me anywhere I want them to go.
Let me go with you,
Batari offered.
If you try to run from them on foot, you'll surely be run down. At least if you're on Mirak back with me, we'll stand a chance of getting away. Queen Mother...
Rikuri trailed off in a disapproving tone.
That seems like a very bad idea. I'm all for charging in headfirst recklessly, but your people need you alive if we want to stand any chance of winning this battle. We'll need Ben alive, too,
the white-haired Chero leader argued.
And for that to happen, he needs my help. Also, he's the father of our future. His baby grows in my womb, so anywhere he goes, I go.
I felt a swelling of pride in my chest at Batari's words. The two of us had moved beyond simple lovers. The Queen Mother now saw me as her mate through and through. We were having a child together, and she wanted to ensure her kid was going to grow up with both loving parents at its side. Then we'll ride out together. I hope that Mirak is quicker than a bunch of pissed-off orcs.
He's faster than a sprinting panzer. That's why he's mine.
Our crew traveled for a bit longer, until we finally came to a spot about a mile up from the shore. Then Batari held up her hand and silently commanded her soldiers to halt, and we all stood there and watched as the ships approached the shore.
I really hope this is far enough away.
Nima gulped as she stared out at the enemy fleet. It should be, at least far enough away to make their weapons inaccurate. I dismounted from George, walked over to Batari's Mirak, and then hoisted myself up behind her. As the two of us began to ride forward, Zamwe's choked-up voice spoke up.
Queen Mother,
the shaman pleaded.
Please, be careful. We cannot lose you.
You won't.
But even if you do, there are two amazing leaders waiting in the line of succession after me.
Good luck, Batari.
Rikuri frowned.
Remember, the second they start charging you, run like a wild horn getting chased by a Ragahi. I'll remember.
Batari chuckled.
Y'all just get into position and be ready to attack.
Be careful, Ben.
Mira warned from behind as we started to trot away.
The orcs are much trickier than they look.
With that, Batari and I walked our Murak forward, away from the rest of the war party. Now we were all alone. If the orcs decided to make a charge on the shoreline, or if they decided to blast us away with a hailstorm of ballista bolts, we were doomed. We stopped about 50 feet up the shore, at the point where the sandy soil morphed into grassy plains. That was where we waited for whatever was about to happen next. The entire fleet was now stopped about 100 yards from the shore, and each of the vessels floated in the ocean calmly. I could see a few orcs as they scuttled around on the top decks of the vessels, but they all seemed to be just as on edge as we were. My entire body was tense, like I was laying on a bed of pins and needles, and my heart fluttered in my chest as I stood there, hand on my sword hilt, and waited for the orcs to make their move. Much to my surprise, all was silent.
I don't like this.
I don't either. What the fuck are they planning? Just when I was about to give up, I saw a few figures as they climbed down the side of the vessel at the very center. There were only 2 orcs in total, and my curiosity was piqued as they lowered into their rowboat and began to head in our direction.
What are they doing? Why are they only sending 2 fighters?
I've seen this before. They're sending out people to try and talk terms.
Terms?
Batari frowned in confusion.
What sort of terms?
They're gonna come out here and try to scare us. They're gonna claim their army is too powerful to beat, and they'll offer us some bullshit fake mercy if we surrender, or leave the island, or some shit like that.
What good does that do?
Like Mira said, the orcs think everybody in this world is just as dumb as they are. They want us to take the cowardly way out and run away instead of fighting. Of course, there's no doubt in my mind they'd just blow us out of the water from behind if we really did that anyway. They're a bunch of chicken shits like that.
Then what's the point of even listening to them?
Honestly? It's kind of amusing, and it makes it way more satisfying when you finally kick their asses. Plus, you never know when the idiots are going to let slip a crucial piece of information. Batari and I watched as the rowboat slowly floated up toward the shore, until it eventually came to a halt on the sandy ground. The 2 orcs in the boat stepped out from their vessel, dug their leather boots into the sandy ground, and then stomped over to our position. I could tell from these guys' appearance that they were orcs of higher authority. Probably captains or generals or whatever the fuck they called themselves when they wanted to pretend they were important. The 1st orc was a towering lunk. He stood nearly 7 feet tall with bulging muscles all across his exposed green flesh. The orc wore a pair of dark brown pants tied up with a leather belt that itself was adorned with dozens of dangling pieces of multicolored fabric. On his chest was a brown leather vest that matched the color of his pants, and nothing more. The nose on his face was crooked and bulbous, a perfect fit for the wide, square-shaped jaw that sat below it. And his eyes were yellow and bloodshot, though a bit of disgusting red liquid ran down from the left socket. As for the 2nd orc, he was much more in line with what you'd expect from a typical pirate captain. He wore a knee-length tan coat with dark brown, horizontal brown bars that ran up either side of its opening. A leather bandolier was strapped across his body, and it held what appeared to be a dagger and a bunch of tiny iron spheres with fuses sticking out of them. Miniature bombs? Miniature bombs. The second orc's face was much narrower than the first, and his ears and nose were pointed enough to poke out somebody's eye. The bastard had scars all over his face, including a bit of his cheek that was torn off all the way down to the muscle.
"The Draco Rex," the second orc growled. "It looks like today's our lucky day."
"Yeah," the first orc snickered. "Now we're gonna get even more dragons, and the Grand Gar is gonna shower us with riches when he hears we killed this fucker."
"The Grand Gar?" I raised an eyebrow without missing a beat. "Is that what you call your leader?" "That's even dumber than I thought." I wanted nothing more than to hack off these bastards' heads, but they were stupid enough to start name-dropping their superiors. So I decided to let them talk a little bit more before I ended their miserable lives.
"You're not really in a position to be talking shit, you little bitch," the orc with the vest growled.
"And you are. I'm sure by now you've figured out what happened to the rest of the orcs you sent here."
"I'm sure they're dead."
The second orc rolled his eyes.
"They were the scouting party after all. They were no match for the Draco Rex."
"Look, fucker," I warned. "Don't try to pull that I'm more sophisticated than the others bullshit. Don't try to pull that I'm more sophisticated than the others bullshit because you think it's gonna make you more relatable or some shit. You're just another dumb fuck of an orc who's gonna get turned into worm food."
"Don't be so sure, asshole,"
the orc with the long coat growled.
"You may have beat the shit out of a Karnag a couple of times now, but he's nothing compared to us."
"Yeah, nobody's ever fought against Captain Nakar and Captain Gurgan and lived to talk about it."
"Well, some of the women certainly did, Gurgan."
The orc, who I assumed was Captain Nakar, snickered.
"But they couldn't do much talking with our dicks shoved in their mouths, could they?"
Both of the orcs cackled with glee, and I saw Batari's grip tighten on her weapon.
"Don't," I whispered. "They're trying to piss us off so we make a wrong move."
"Who do you think you are?"
Batari snarled at the orcs.
"You come to these sacred lands looking to steal away the most sacred creatures in the world and expect to live?"
"We'll live, sweetie. I think we might let you live too. You seem fun."
"Yeah,"
Gurgan licked his lips.
"I can already tell you be a fighter. You'll squirm real nice when I bury my cock inside your..."
"You better get to your fucking point," I snapped, before these disgusting fucks could say any more. "I'm losing my patience."
"We have all the time in the world."
Nakar smiled and turned to look at me.
"The way I see it, we have you completely outnumbered. I can see your pathetic little group of warriors up there, and it's nowhere even close to the numbers we have."
"Even with your dragons, you don't stand a chance,"
Gurgan added.
"You may as well give them up right now, and we might just let a couple of you live. After we take a few of them sexy horned women, of course."
"Not a chance. You want them, you're gonna have to go through me and my dragons."
"It doesn't have to be this way, you know,"
Nakar shrugged.
"We would love to see your head on a spike, Dragon King, trust me. There is nothing more in this world the Grand Gar wants. However, we are here for the dragons of this island, and nothing more. Leave now, and our blockade will allow you to pass."
"Fat fucking chance. Come on now. I would have figured Karnag told you how willing I am to take that sort of offer."
"I'll give you a counteroffer,"
Batari grumbled.
"Y'all leave our island this instant, and we will not bring down the wrath of Tembori on your people."
Gurgan held up his hands and made his eyes exaggeratingly wide.
"Oh, don't threaten us with Tembori."
"Babe,"
Nakar clicked his tongue,
"you're in no position to be making threats."
I took a deep breath, inhaled all of the saliva in my mouth, and then spat on the ground at the two orcs' feet.
"That's what I think of your terms. You want us? Come and get us."
The two captains looked at each other with devilish smiles on their faces.
"I was hoping you were gonna say that. You want me to give the order?"
"If you want to."
Nakar smirked before he raised his hand into the air, and several more orcs started over the side of the ships. Just as I had feared, the orc vessels appeared to be packed to the gills with soldiers. Body after green, muscular body came over the side of the deck, used a thick rope to slide down into the water, and then awaited the command from their leader. At the same time, Gergen turned to the left and let out a sharp, long whistle. And then he turned his head to the other side and repeated the action. And my heart fell into my knees.
"What's happening, Ben?"
Batari gasped. I don't know. But whatever it is, it can't be good." Suddenly, the grass of the savannah began to rustle and move. Holy fuck. It was infested. Dozens and dozens of orcs stood up from their hiding spots, with bows and arrows in hand. They were up the plains and had already gotten into position, so they flanked my fighters, and there was nowhere for my friends to run. My heart felt like it was tightening as dread filled my very being. These fuckers had laid out a trap for us, and it had worked like a charm. Orcs weren't usually this organized, which made me think of the Grand Gar they mentioned and what he was like. But I couldn't wonder about that now.
"You really should have taken our offer. At least you and your other bitches could have gotten away, and we would have just had our fun with these horned women. Now, we're gonna make you watch as we take turns fucking each and every one of your women. But not before we cut off your own dick and force-feed it to ya. Ha ha!"
Holy shit. My mind raced as I tried to figure out what we could do. The dragons could probably take out the archers, but they'd be putting themselves straight into the line of fire. Oh, fuck! Fuck, 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 fuck!
"Ready?"
An orc from the crowd of archers called out, and the rest of them raised arrows to their bows in response.
"Dragons!"
I shouted telepathically.
"You guys are our first line of defense. You gotta stop those arrows."
"Aim!"
the orc called again.
"We'll try, dear one. There are so many of them."
"Fire!"
My heart fell into my knees as the orcs let loose the first shot of arrows. At the same time, Swaer and Tyrion took to the sky. Then Swaer unleashed a blast of wind straight at the incoming projectiles and sent them collectively scattering in all directions against the tempest. My friends and the orcs alike let out several frustrated cries as they dodged the falling arrows. But the little wind dragon's attack seemed to work. On the other side of the field, Tyrion unleashed his fiery blast at the arrows, as George attacked them with his water breath. Several of the projectiles were incinerated in a flash of flames, while the others were knocked away with a splash of briny water.
"Oh, oh," Gergen taunted. "Not bad."
"Thank Tembori for the dragons,"
Batari muttered under her breath. "That's only going to work once or twice. Now all three of those guys are going to be the targets of the next wave." Suddenly, there was a loud, bellowing sound from the far east, and the orcs, dragons, and Chero women all stopped in their tracks and turned in the direction of the mysterious noise.
"Tembori's tusks!"
Batari cried out.
"Could it be?"
Off on the horizon, we saw a small herd of creatures running straight toward the battlefield. There were seven of the things in total, and even from afar I could tell they were just a bit larger than George. They were dark green, with brownish spots across their scaly bodies, with necks about double the length of their bodies, and heads that were more oval-shaped than any of the dragons I'd ever seen before. The ground thundered as they ran across the savannah, and I couldn't believe my eyes at the speed that they showed. "Batari, please tell me those are what I think they are."
"They are!"
Batari wept with joy.
"The land dragons have returned to us!"
Maybe we weren't so fucked after all. Maybe, just maybe, the tide was turning in our direction.